Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card. The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into hour number 3 of the Early Line Monday morning edition. I'm Donnie Wrightside. He is Joe Ranieri. A lot more hot topics to come in hour number 3, no doubt about it, but maybe none hotter than the NFL offseason starting to pick up steam. You know what's coming up next year. Free agency. The tag period's going to end. We're going to have the draft, OTAs, and away we go into training camp and preseason football. But the questions of where are some of these quarterbacks actually going to land with their new teams, or will they be staying with their same team? So we asked the public here in our Fade the Public poll at Sports Grid TV, give me some choices here on who will be a starting quarterback next season. And we narrowed it down to Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, and also give the options of both of these guys to be starting quarterbacks or neither to be starting quarterbacks next year in the NFL. Justin Fields, the leader in the head-to-head competition against Russell Wilson with 35.8%, but also the public does feel, Joe, that we have both of these guys starting in the NFL next year. So let's start off the conversation here with some fun. Justin Fields, as you said, you expect him to be back with the Chicago Bears. Talk to me about that.
Well, I do. I think that there's a lot of smoke going on here across the board with, you know, Caleb Williams and the number one pick, and they're going to go, and Fields is done. And I'm not buying that. I am a big believer in the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. There is no way you're going to be able to convince me that any one of the top three quarterbacks in this draft is somehow has so much more upside than what you already know you have in Justin Fields. And not to mention, he's apparently a great locker room guy. The locker room loves this kid. So that matters. You can't be throwing Caleb Williams and crying after losses in the locker room with a bunch of grown men. That is not going to go over well there. So I think they move down. I think they inherit a whole lot of other picks, and I think ultimately they've got their quarterback of the future on the roster.
Welcome in the radio audience. You're watching and listening live here to the Early Line Monday morning edition. I'm Donnie Wrightside. He's Joe Ranieri, Sirius XM channel 159, the rest of our radio affiliates here. It's interesting as it plays out because you are going to get a massive haul back if you think Justin Fields is your future. But let's play this angle. And again, Justin Fields leads this year as being a starting quarterback next season. Doesn't say with the Bears just to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. My question to you, Joe, is can you afford to pass over Caleb Williams? Because a lot of people, including general managers, and rightfully so, outside of Jerry Jones can make all the decisions he wants and all the mistakes he wants. He's not going to get fired because he owns the team. But if you are the GM, Ryan Poles, here in Chicago, can you afford to make this? Because if it does work out, you're an absolute genius. But if it doesn't work out, you will be fired. And quite frankly, wherever you try to get a job, hey, that's the guy that passed over Caleb Williams, who was a 5-time MVP and won 3 Super Bowls and couldn't be stopped. And you pass that up here. Can you, as the general manager of the Chicago Bears, pass this over?
Absolutely, you can, because you can, being in that, you have all the leverage with that number one pick. And because there are so many quarterback needy teams just behind you, there are teams that will overpay to be able to move up and get the guy that they need. They don't need a quarterback. They have a quarterback. What they have not had is enough continuity and enough weapons around him. Now, here you have a situation where you can you know, head fake all the competition by going, yeah, I really like Caleb Williams. I really like, you know, May. I like, oh, you know, like, you know, JT Daniel. Okay, great. But, you know, there are teams behind you that want those guys and are willing to pay for it. The haul that you can get by keeping Fields and surrounding him with all that talent, I think they're absolutely crazy. The devil you know is better than the devil you don't. And just because you can get them at number one don't mean they're going to be a number one pick. I am not buying it. I'm not sold on any of these quarterbacks coming out. I think Fields has got just as much upside as any one of those guys do.
By the way, you're taking a look also. A lot of talk on Justin Fields, rightfully so. Chicago Bears' number one overall pick. It's an unbelievable debate. But the one debate it doesn't seem like we're having is, should Russell Wilson actually return to the Denver Broncos? Because it seems like it's already a foregone conclusion that he won't be there. Now, hear me out on this, because if you think both of these quarterbacks can start in the NFL, because Russell Wilson does bring a name with him, what play is he going to bring with them? Hopefully it's not the play that he was at the Denver quarterback position. But as I say this, like, if you are the Denver Broncos, it's not as if it's like, hey, this is a tough decision. If we let Russ go and just cut him, we're going to eat $25 million in dead cap space. Joe, we're talking about accelerated numbers of close to $80 to $90 million if you cut him. And quite frankly, it looks like the Denver Broncos will be happy with that. So usually it's like, we're going to try to make this work as much as we can because we can't afford this cap hit because it's going to absolutely crush what we can do over the next year. It looks like the Denver Broncos are okay with that, which leads me to ask you this question. If the Broncos are okay with eating like $90 million of dead cap money, how much could Russell Wilson actually have left in the tank?
Yeah, none, nothing. And I, you know, ironically enough, all the rumors and all the stories that we're hearing is this really doesn't necessarily have anything to do with his ability on the field. It's his inability and lack of communication as well as execution. I mean, listen, we're talking about Sean Payton, a guy that came in, and I think he realized rather quickly that Russell Wilson can't be saved, that he is past the point of any return. I mean, mind you, this is a guy here that coached Drew Brees for how long in his career? He is used to a certain way to have a quarterback that can certainly do some things here. And I think he learned that Russell Wilson is not that guy. And that Russell Wilson, yeah, sure, he could be. I mean, listen, Baker Mayfield's going to be a starting quarterback this year. Russell Wilson can still get up under center and congratulations. You're not going to win anything. And I think he knows that. And I think that's why they're ready to cut ties, because I don't think you're teaching an old dog new tricks here. And I don't think Sean Payton wants anything to do with that. Better. And the locker room, there's also some locker room issues there with Russell Wilson. So you got to cut bait, man. It's worth the money that you're going to lose just to be able to get rid of him and move on.
And here's why you take a look, too. It would have been interesting to see if, like, you removed Justin Fields and Russell Wilson individually from the equation, Joe, and you just went both or neither will be starting quarterbacks next season. Because the one thing our mind initially runs to is, okay, if Justin Fields, let's just say, gets traded to the Atlanta Falcons, sure, he's going to start opening day for the Falcons next year. But Russell Wilson could be that guy, and I don't think this is going to happen, but I'm just saying, like, for voting purposes, there's a really good chance that, let's just say, Russell Wilson doesn't find his home right away. But the question didn't ask, who will be the team starting quarterback week one next year? I do believe even if Russell Wilson somehow isn't a starting quarterback to start the season, we've seen so many injuries. And if Russell Wilson is out there for that sort of Joe Flacco type deal, hey, look, we just need a veteran guy who's done it in the past. You know, we're a 500 team. We need a couple wins down the stretch to get in. I do think there's a legitimate chance that Russell Wilson can be that type of guy. I mean, heck, Philip Rivers is probably still going to take calls in December this year to be a starting quarterback down the stretch if we get an incredible injury down the stretch at this point, Joe, right?
I don't think he holds on, Donnie. I think it's either start or move on to the second part of your life here. That's it.
Russell Wilson and Sierra, maybe future in the mix? Yeah, where's his future going to be at? What NFL team does he land? Let's talk. Hey, son, get your dancing shoes on.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back out here on the early line. Hour number three rumbling along. And if you don't have your dancing shoes on, people, you are missing out because we start the official, for me, it's the official start of the dance tonight. It's Sonny Wrightside. It's Joe Ranieri. The A-Sun Tournament. You might not even know what the A-Sun is or if we're making it up, but trust me, it's Quality Basketball Conference kicking it off. Now, if we're taking a look at the true essence of March, this week here, the mid-majors, the Power Fives, they're still winding down, right? So this time, we get those lower schools here, the lower mid-majors, the schools that you may not have heard of here that have every right to try to crash your party as a 15th or 16th seed come your March Madness tournament. But this week, again, mid-majors winding down along with those Power Fives. Next week, they'll kick it up. But I love the start here because most of the time, you either going to have to win or you don't get into March Madness. And that's the fun of it here. But if we're taking a look initially, before we start with the A-Sun, Joe, and try to break down the brackets here, essentially, and where they're going to play and some of the rules here in the A-Sun, let me talk to you about conference tournament week itself. And also, we can include the Power Fives. Give me the way you handicap it here because usually, again, the A-Sun is a little bit different. You have to win it to get in. That's not going to be the case once we start next week. So when I'm looking at betting these conferences, it's a different strategy from this week towards next week. Do you have any strategies that you follow on conference championship weeks here, Joe, when betting?
Well, you also have to, they're a little bit different. For instance, you're talking about the Atlantic Sun here. So don't forget that it works where these aren't neutral site games, right? These are games that are played on campus sites. So the higher CDP will get, these are essentially home games then for teams. So that kind of changes the handicap a little bit when you start looking at some of these teams. And we saw it across the board, Donnie, this year with whether it be the power conferences or the mid-majors, you know, home favorites across the board in conferences this year straight up have been absolute money. I mean, we're talking about a 70% clip or higher. So it matters, even in the mid-majors who you got to figure how many kids on campus are actually coming to the air. Well, sight lines matter. Comfort level matters with these mid-majors. So understand how the individual conferences work. And understand how you're going to get games played on teams' home courts here, and they are going to have a distinct advantage, which means you have an advantage when betting it.
And by the way, just looking overall, because again, some of these conference tournaments are a little bit different than others. You know, some conferences, everybody seems to participate, but I'm taking a look here at the A-Sun schedule right now. We have two games, which we'll take a look in just a few moments. Jacksonville and Kennesaw State, followed by Queens and, you know, Dunk City, as we like to know, FGCU. But if we're looking at these games matched up, Richmond, Kentucky is that first round game, Jacksonville, Kennesaw State, because the higher seed is going to get the winner of that game. Same thing about Queens and Dunk City out here with Florida Gulf Coast. Deal in Florida. That means the team is going to be sitting waiting on them, which again is a great advantage. Also, we talk about some of these teams getting hot to start the tournament and the other team hasn't played yet, so you do get a distinct advantage. But some of the teams in conference play, as I'm looking at right now, Central Arkansas and Bellarmine, I don't see them here. So maybe this is one of those conferences that cuts out the really bad basketball teams and doesn't even invite them, because I'm showing a four-game slate here on Tuesday, which has EKU, Stetson, Lipscomb, and also Austin Peay playing in that environment. But again, I could be wrong at that, but just the way it's lining up here. The favorites in this conference tournament. Is that right, though?
You're not, Donnie. Ten of the 12 teams qualify out of this conference, but there is a caveat here that you also need to keep in mind. Queens College, you mentioned, is the number 8 seed in this tournament. However, they're ineligible for postseason. Right. So if they run the tournament here and they win, they would be ineligible for the NCAA tournament. So if that's the case, then the regular season champ, which I believe was Eastern Kentucky in the A-Sun, they would get the beat. So they're the wild card in this Queens College. And we saw it, right? It happened to, what was it, Merrimack last year, and Fairleigh Dickinson ends up getting in and ends up, beating Purdue there. We have that situation here in the A-Sun, but 10 of the 12 teams only qualify for this conference tournament.
Yeah, take a look at the top teams here. Eastern Kentucky at a plus 145 number. Lipscomb at a 3-1 price. Stetson plus 550. And Austin Peay at a 9-1 price. Like, if we just say, well, you guys don't really look at these too much. I actually lost a team total in Eastern Kentucky on Friday night when they matched up against Lipscomb. And Lipscomb beat them 81-67. Had I had Lipscomb's 81 points here, obviously that would have easily covered that team total at this point. But we do have some teams here that do like to get up and down the court in the A. Some teams that certainly do play a little bit slower. The one thing that we don't get is great defense across the board. So points won't be at a premium this weekend. If you are betting the A Sun here, is it favorites for you? Are there any teams that can make a run? Because we'll take a look at the two games in just a moment here.
Right. Well, so it's interesting, too. So, you know, I like to look in some of these mid-major schools on recent form, Donnie, because I don't think it matters very much what they did in the beginning of January. I think it matters more about what they have done down the stretch here. What kind of form are they in? And, you know, Eastern Kentucky, the regular season champ, congratulations. But they finished the season by losing both to Lipscomb and Austin Peay to finish the season. Now, they are going to be an interesting team here because they are the favorite. But they're not a favorite, I think, that is in great form. I think if you're looking for a dark horse in this one here, got to go to Florida Gulf Coast, who's sitting right around, what, a 30-40-1 price tag somewhere in there. Love Patrick Chambers as the head coach, and his team plays defense, and they are also used to beating teams they're not supposed to win, a.k.a. FAU comes to mind here. So I do think the way the bracket sets up that if you're looking for a long shot in this A-Sun tournament, Florida Gulf Coast is not a bad spot to look here because they have already shown better competition. They can bring their game, and they are one of the better defensive teams in the Atlantic Sun.
Let's take a look at Jacksonville and Kennesaw State tonight. Again, they're going to be playing in Richmond, Kentucky. Neither one of these teams on their home court, but I always love these anomalies that we find themselves. 12 teams in the Atlantic Sun. How about Jacksonville? The worst offense in conference tournament play here coming in, but also the number one overall defense here. So certainly it looks like who gets the better side of each other in practice. Obviously the defensive side, because that's what they care about most. However, one of those interesting things that pops up, Kennesaw State here is a favorite by -2.5 points. They don't have a great offense either. The one thing they do like to is shoot the three-point shot a lot. However, 11th in conference play, making them at 33%, but number two overall in volume. As I just said, 12 teams in conference play. Jacksonville in defense, who we said is number one overall in efficiency, they'll let you shoot the three-point shot. So it's always tough. You're entering into conference tournament play on a neutral site game. Can you trust the three-point shots to fall? Because if you do, Kennesaw might be that play tonight here, Joe, at -2.5.
Not bad. I actually like Jacksonville in this one here tonight, simply because I think, you know, Jacksonville, and we said Florida Gulf Coast and Jacksonville, two best defensive teams in this conference. It is ratcheted up now that it's conference tournament because everything matters. Defense to me in college basketball and mid-majors, Donnie's all about effort, right? It's about understanding where to be and being able to. And Jacksonville and Florida Gulf Coast have laid out the entire year, maybe not the most talented shooting teams, right? Kennesaw State certainly, like you mentioned, is able to drop a whole lot of points on you if you let them. I don't think they're going to have that chance here. I think push comes to shove. Keep an eye on the free throw rate, on who we're dealing with, who fouls more, who can you trust. I mean, it's only a 2.5, 3-point line, Donnie, which means somebody's probably going to have to win this game down the stretch. I do think Jacksonville might be a live dog in this one.
Yeah, Queens and Florida Gulf Coast, that second game tonight in the A-Sun. Florida Gulf Coast, as Joe pointed out, top two defense in conference play, and also the number one team at defending the three-point line. However, they'll let you shoot that three-point shot here, 11th out of 12 teams in volume. The one thing we know about Queens, they like to get up and down the court, almost the opposite with Florida Gulf Coast. You have one of those type of games, it's which style is going to win out. Up-tempo, defensive, shooting the three-point shot, a lot of fun here, but the point is this. March Madness of officially gets underway tonight with conference tournament play. Thank you, A-Sun, for bringing it to us. Tom Beck is up next. Let's see where he's going on the nightly card right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rolling along, having some fun here on the early line. A Monday morning edition for March the 4th. It is March Madness. It's time for some fun. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Joe Ranieri. We welcome in Tom Vecchio from FanDuel to have some fun. Tom, how's it going this morning?
I'm doing good. Yes, yeah, super fun time for to be a sports fan. We've got the NHL trade deadline at the end of this week. Conference tournament starting for March Madness. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, it's fantastic stuff all the way around. So let's not waste any time. Let's get into the NBA tonight. Yesterday, we saw the Clippers in a defensive effort here. How about that? Picking up a victory over the Minnesota Timberwolves back-to-back tonight on the road against the Milwaukee Bucks. This line opened up at the FanDuel Sportsbook at 5.5 and currently sits at 5.5. A total opening up at 229.5, now down to 226. Of course, we don't know exactly who's going to be in the starting lineup, particularly for those Clippers. But Tom, give us a look tonight. Clippers-Bucks.
I'm actually liking the Clippers tonight, and I got to say, I think the Bucks are being a bit overvalued. Five-game winning streak for them. That's great. They started off super rough under Doc Rivers. Win against the Timberwolves, sure. Win against the 76ers without Embiid, I'll call that a half a point. Two wins against Charlotte and one win against the Bulls. Like, those three wins do not impress me. So I think the Bucks are being a little bit overvalued tonight. I would specifically side with Kawhi Leonard tonight. Over 10.5 rebounds plus assists. This is a pace of spot for the Clippers, combined with the Bucks aren't good on defense. We can't take this five-game sample size as like set in stone when you're winning two games against the Hornets. So I will take Kawhi. I will take a little bit of regression from the Bucks. I think the Clippers cover. I think they can win outright, assuming everyone's in the starting lineup for them.
That's the interesting broad topic too, right? Because Kawhi and Paul George have actually played the second of a back-to-back this year. Like, wait a minute, what is going on? I don't know if that continues the closer we get to the playoffs here. But we do have another team coming up here, I believe, tonight, second of a back-to-back. How about OKC taking on the Lakers here tonight? A little late night in L.A. What are we looking at?
We're looking at no defense tonight. Both teams are in the top 10 in the league when it comes to offensive pace. Super high over-under. It's a one-point spread. I mean, this is what we should be expecting from these teams. OKC obviously having a fantastic year. Lakers don't play defense. I think all of the star lines, SGA, LeBron, AD, even Chet Holmgren, I think all those lines are super refined. Like, they've been bet a ton. So I actually want to go to some secondary markets with Jalen Williams. Over 4.5 rebounds, only minus 113. As I said, great game environment, high over under, 1 point spread. He's kind of that secondary piece behind SGA at 1A, Holmgren at 1B, and some of his lines are actually rather soft. He's generally getting to about 4 rebounds per game. I'm banking on the game environment being able to push him over 4.5 tonight.
By the way, if we're looking at this game, OKC versus the Los Angeles Lakers, it's interesting to me because you take a look at OKC yesterday, great win against the Phoenix Suns on the road. So now they're on a back-to-back. We saw the Lakers at home on Saturday night with LeBron James going to go clearing that 40,000-yard marker, but they also lost that game by double digits. But the reason I want to focus on OKC in this game, typically we see throughout the season, okay, let's rest our starters here, maybe rest a starter or two. But when you look at OKC, you are fighting tooth and nail with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Can they take a night off tonight? And also, what do you think these starting lineups will be? Because the Lakers are a slight favorite, but only -1, even though OKC's on a back-to-back here, Tom.
So I actually think OKC, yeah, they're fighting tooth and nail. I think between OKC and the Timberwolves, I actually think one of them win the West. I don't think it's going to be Denver. Denver, we know what they can do. They've proven it before. I actually think they take their foot off the gas because they have nothing to prove, right? OKC and the Timberwolves are these younger teams that still need to prove that they belong among the best in the West. So I expect full lineups from everyone tonight. The Lakers, what we see from them defensively and even as a well-rounded effort is a mystery on a nightly basis. So I have very little interest in taking the Lakers. I think going with the Thunder, going with the over is probably the route to go tonight.
Yeah, SGA, too, played 38 minutes last night, and they needed all of it from a mid-win that game against Phoenix in the fourth quarter. So it'll be interesting to see what you get from him tonight here. But, who knew it? I think this is just the fourth time all year the San Antonio Spurs have actually, if I'm not mistaken, won a game back-to-back. And I'm saying that because I'm still kind of pissed off about the Indiana Pacers losing that game last night. But there is nobody more disappointed, I think, than Chicago Bulls fans on what has come out here so far out of this season. I don't know why a lot of these guys are still on this team, but they are. Do we trust them on the road going to Sactown here and lighting a beam? I don't. Are you a big Bulls believer here?
No, I'm not. I think they did not make the right moves at the deadline. They should have moved a ton of players. I know they're dealing with a ton of injuries. It is what it is. My most sought-after market tonight for this game will be the three-point prop for Keegan Murray. None of the lines are posted. De'Aaron Fox is still listed as questionable. He's missed the past few games for the Kings. But Keegan Murray is a great three-point shooter. The Bulls, they're on 14.6 threes from their opponents per game. That's last in the league. Over the last three games, that's up to 17 threes allowed. So Keegan Murray, who set a rookie record last year for threes made, will be the market that I'm targeting tonight.
If we take a look at the NBA Western Conference odds here, it's the Denver Nuggets at a plus 195 price here at the FanDuel Sportsbook as the favorite, followed closely by the Los Angeles Clippers. However, if we take a look at the standings themselves, there are three teams within a half game of each other. That's OKC, Minnesota, and the Denver Nuggets. Is it a foregone conclusion for us now that the Denver Nuggets are just going to overtake OKC and also Minnesota? Or in your mind here, is there worthy plays on, you know, plus 750 here on OKC, plus 900 on the Minnesota Timberwolves to win the NBA Western Conference, Tom?
Like I said, I think the Nuggets actually take their foot off the gas a little bit. They'd rather go into the playoffs fully healthy. I don't think a second or third, even fourth seed for them is too much of an issue. They can defend home court well up at altitude. My most the spot that I have the interest in would be the Suns at plus 800, plus 900, wherever they are. From a talent perspective, I think they can take anyone on. And if you gave me the Suns versus OKC or the Suns versus the Timberwolves in the second round, I think most people would be interested in the Suns, even if they don't have home court, even if they don't have, even if they're the underdog in the series. Like, that veteran leadership that they have, even Devin Booker, who's been to the finals before, they have that well ahead of the Timberwolves and well ahead of OKC. So I will take the Suns at plus 900. Simply from a talent perspective, they just need to be fully healthy.
Let me ask you, Doc, how good, I mean, I mentioned the Spurs, but how good is Wembanyama in your opinion here? They've got some great new specials available there that you can back on FanDuel. I love to record a quadruple double this season. I think that is absolutely fantastic. Is he every bit as good, if not better, than Chet Holmgren in your mind?
I think so. Like, when it comes to Wemby, like, what I'm thinking about most is, like, what's he going to look like in 5 or 6 years when he puts on 40 or 50 pounds, hopefully? Like, he's really going to be the next Giannis, but, like, he has to develop. So they've been kind of limiting his minutes. He, like, really has been pushing past 35 minutes too often this season. It's actually in the high 20s, low 30s. So for a quadruple-double, will we see that? Probably not this year, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility in, like, 3 years. Especially if the way the game has developed, like all offense, no defense in the regular season combined with the way that the Spurs play, it's like not that crazy to see at some point in his career. Probably not this year, though.
Let's flip it over to ice hockey, Tom. Have some fun with this. And by the way, there is a minus 480 favorite tonight in the Colorado Avalanche, which we don't need to handicap that game. We're going to go to Broadway, and that's Florida and New York. Bobrovsky versus Shesterkin. And how about this? The FanDuel Sportsbook opened up this game at a minus 111 price here as a favorite for the Rangers, which is now flipped over to Florida for a minus 125 favorite. Florida and New York. Give us an update here on what we think is going to happen tonight in the Garden.
Well, the 5.5 line is not something we normally see for the NHL, at least, you know, this season, the past few years, just because there's so much scoring. Both these teams are at the top of the conference, despite how hot the Rangers have been, winning 11 of their last 12 games. So the last 2 weeks, they're actually dead last in the league with 78 shot attempts allowed per 60 minutes in 5v5 situations. That is not good. So they are giving up a ton of shot attempts. And over that same time, the Panthers are the fourth highest league for total shot attempts generated. So I'm not surprised to see the line flip in favor of the Panthers. So I actually like going to Carter Verhaeghe over 3.5 shots. He's averaging just over 3.2 shots per game. He's coming off a game where he had no shots on goal. So simply just due for some positive regression on the first forward line, on the first power play. This is a player that is consistently generating 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 shot attempts. He should be able to put them on net against the Rangers team. Again, 78 shot attempts per 60 minutes is absolutely terrible, despite them winning all these games.
It was a hell of a year last year in South Florida because we had Stanley Cup and NBA Finals going on here. There is a lot of buzz here that maybe this Florida Panthers team better than the one that made it to the finals a year ago. Are you buying them, Eastern Conference and, of course, champs this year?
Yeah, I actually think the Panthers might be the most well-rounded team among that top four. That's where the conference winner will come from. The Hurricanes, the Panthers, the Rangers, the Bruins. I don't think any of those other teams have a shot. The Canes are missing scoring depth. The Rangers are missing bottom six help. When it comes to the Bruins, they also need some center depth. They also need some bottom scoring. The Panthers are the most well-rounded team. The most interesting part for them is they started off the year super strong, despite not having Brandon Montour and Aaron Ekblad, their top two defenders. They've rounded into form. Bobrovsky looks amazing. They have the experience now to push past things in the playoffs and into the playoffs, and I think they really are the most well-rounded team. So it's not a super long number on them, and honestly, I would have more interest in taking them in the first round at like -1.5, whatever that line may be in terms of a series spread. But that number isn't long enough, but I still think they come out of the East.
Quick question on this, Tom. The Hart Trophy, the MVP for the regular season in the NHL, four guys at 360, plus 360 or less here. Matthews, McKinnon, Kucherov, and McDavid. Who gets your vote right now if you had one?
It's going to be Matthews. If he hits 70 goals, which we talked about last week, which hasn't been done since 91 in like 32 years, 31 years, whatever it is, he's going to win it. You get him at 3.5, 4. I think that may be fine. We're probably not going to find that number. And honestly, if you do find that number, it probably means because his goal pace has slipped. So it's probably going to come down to McKinnon or Matthews for me. If he hits 70 goals, Matthews wins it. If he doesn't, it's going to be McKinnon with 130 points or whatever he ends up with.
Fantastic stuff all the way around, Tom, here. And by the way, his top props tonight are listed as follows. Kawhi Leonard over 10.5 rebounds and assists tonight. Jalen Williams over 4.5 rebounds. And also Carter Verhaeghe over 3.5 shots at a plus 130 price. Tom, thanks for checking in with us today. Fantastic stuff as usual. We'll talk to you again sooner than later. But myself and Joe will be back through NBA action. You guessed it. We'll be right here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
College basketball and the NBA collide tonight. Not a huge card in the NBA in particularly either in college basketball. As we told you multiple times, the Atlantic Sun is kicking off March Madness with their conference tournament. But we got some big doings, particularly in the Big 12. If we take a look at the standings here, Joe Ranieri, Houston Cougars at a 13-3 number sit there up by one game over the Iowa State Cyclones, followed by the Baylor Bears, who are three games back at 10-6. The one thing we do know, the Big 12 is a really good and deep conference here. So anything above 500, probably in conference play, is going to get you into March Madness. Interesting game tonight between Texas and Baylor. If we set the table for this one, you take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook opening this number at -6.5 and still sitting there this morning. A total, which opened up at 146.5, now down to 144.5. My favorite play on Friday, even though it was for a Saturday game, obviously no early line on Saturdays, my best bet was Baylor to handle their business over Kansas, and they did that. They were at home, so they don't have to travel in a quick turnaround here, taking on Texas. Any looks from you tonight as Baylor is a 6.5-point favorite over the Longhorns here?
Yeah, so Texas is just not, they're not in the same category as the Baylor Bears here. I mean, Scott Drew and his team here, fifth in the nation in adjusted offensive efficiency. They're just loaded with quality guards, which absolutely matters come March Madness here. They also are pretty physical down low. So they are built to be able to adjust and be able to play with anybody here, not to mention the three-point shots that they make. They're third in the country in three-point percentage, which actually will help them a lot against the Longhorns here, who absolutely can't defend the perimeter here. And listen, I'm all for, Texas and some of the moves that they made here. They got Max Asemus in the offseason, signed him up, ready to roll. Congratulations there. But yeah, no, they are not in the Baylor Bears category. The new building in Waco that Baylor plays out of has been phenomenal. Kansas just learned real tough place to play and to win games. Texas, unfortunately, is going to learn that here as well. I think Baylor absolutely rolls them and leaves no prisoners here.
By the way, Baylor here, I talked about to start the show today, 40-1 price before they took on Kansas here for the national championship odds at the FanDuel Sportsbook. They now sit at 30-1 in this one. I do also expect them to win this game tonight. I think Texas is an interesting matchup due to the three-point line, but talk to me moving forward about Baylor. It's a pedigree program that wins a lot of basketball games and looks like they're playing their best basketball here late in the season, Joe.
Yeah, they really are. And again, I think it begins and ends with the guard play with Baylor, right? Ray J. Dennis, Jaden Nunn, both are shooting better than 40% from three. They can absolutely, and as a matter of fact, they're still waiting to see. I believe Langston Love also will be available to them coming back here. So, I mean, this is a team where they will shoot you out of the gym at any point. But what I like about them is their ability to be able to get it down low and play physical basketball in the post, which is going to help them come any sort of Houston type of matchup or UConn type of matchup there. They will be able to go toe-to-toe. The only glaring issue that I see with them is sometimes their defense breaks down a little bit there, but they certainly can recover with their ability with the guard play to be able to shoot you out of the gym.
The ACC, Joe, going to take center stage tonight at 7 p.m. down on Tobacco Road. Why? It's Duke and NC State. Take a look at this game. Opened up at the FanDuel Sportsbook at 5.5 points. It still sits today at 5.5 points. A total also opened up at 149.5, exactly the same today at 149.5. Is this a big game? Absolutely. But Duke must be completely focused here, because if they want to get to Saturday's matchup at Cameron Indoor against the Tar Heels with a chance to win a share of the ACC, they must beat NC State tonight. They are a favorite. They're on the road. Joe, do the Duke Blue Devils handle their business tonight?
Duke is, we talked to Coach James Young earlier in the show, and he's not a big fan of the consistency here with Duke, and I don't trust them in a March Madness situation here. But the one thing that they've done really, really well is they don't beat themselves. And what I mean by that is they don't turn the ball over a lot. They are great in getting their offensive rebounds, which means their ability to be able to not only hold on and maintain possession, but get second chance points has really been what has done some teams in this year against Duke. They're very, very good. They've gotten more discipline as the season's gone on here. NC State, we know they can certainly shoot the ball. They prefer to slow it down if they have a lead, but I don't think they're going to have the lead. I think NC State is going to have to keep pushing pace here to try to keep up with Duke. And if that's the case, I like the over in this matchup here. I think we're going to get some points, especially with NC State at home.
Yeah, should get some tempo in this game. And as we've noted there, if you're looking just in ACC play, the most efficient offense is the Duke Blue Devils. So if they can bring that energy on the road, should come away with a victory and then sets up a fantastic showing this weekend. Now, you might be asking, like, well, wait a second. Doesn't Carolina have a game they have to play? Yes, it's against Notre Dame. So we can sort of move them along and winding up this weekend here in Cameron Indoor for a lot of fun here. But Duke has to do their part with a win tonight over NC State. Let's flip it over to the professional ranks and the NBA and go with the Milwaukee Bucks, winners of 5 straight games. Who now find themselves back in pole position for second place here currently in the Eastern Conference behind the Boston Celtics. Why is that? The Cleveland Cavaliers lost yesterday to the Jalen Brunson-less New York Knicks after only getting a minute out of him on their home court and still losing that game. However, tonight the Clippers come in with a big victory last night. So back-to-backs on the road, but the number, -5.5 as a favorite towards the Milwaukee Bucks tonight in a total of 226. Is the back-to-back too much to hold up? Did the Clippers sit some of their starters? We'll find out. But talk to me tonight about this game, Joe. We back in the Bucks, the hot Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, no, I mean, the Bucks are doing great, but they've also played sisters of the poor here. I mean, congratulations. You've beaten, Washington and, you haven't just Charlotte twice. Like, yeah, great, great stuff. But this is a terrible spot for the Clippers with the second of a back-to-back on the road. They just went up against a very physical Minnesota Timberwolves team and actually beat Minnesota at their own game. Minnesota loves to play those tough, low-scoring physical battles there, and the Clippers actually did it better. And we had mentioned earlier, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George have been playing most of the back-to-backs this year, but I'd be very cautious with this game, because as we get a little bit closer to the end of the regular season and playoffs, I don't know how much we're going to see of this in the back-to-back. It's a totally different team, the Milwaukee Bucks, than what they just faced here in Minnesota. But my big question would be, how much did that Minnesota, the physicality of it, how much did that take out of this team? Because don't forget, Giannis, Bobby Portis, they're going to be coming after him here tonight. I think it might be too much here for the Clippers, who might not have everyone playing.
By the way, let me ask you a question on this, too. Award season in the NBA. We talked about it with the NHL with Tom. There's a couple guys up front. Obviously, we know it's Jokic at a minus 150 price. Let me ask you this question, though. Giannis Antetokounmpo is now 14-1, so he's actually gaining a little bit of steam. Is that going to be good enough for him to win an MVP award if they don't overtake the Celtics? And quite frankly, they're 8.5 games back. They're not going to do that. So my question is no. Giannis locked out of the MVP because they can't get the number one overall seed, or no?
No, I don't think he I don't think he is, because he does. And you also have to look at it. Think about what his numbers are with Dame Lillard on the team as well. Another guy that needs to get his in order to be, you know, somewhat effective here. So the fact that he's been as good and as efficient on what he has done this year with another Hall of Famer right next to him there in Dame Lillard has been impressive. So he's been willing to play the role of great teammate. You need him to pad, you need him to get a rebound. I mean, you know, listen, every season, Donnie, as long as Giannis is playing the prerequisite amount of games, he's going to have the numbers, he's going to have the stats. He's always going to be in consideration for the best player, the MVP in the league, no matter what.
In consideration for maybe the best player of all time, that is LeBron James taking on OKC tonight. Mm. OKC with a great victory yesterday on the road against the Phoenix Suns. Now fly up to Los Angeles and try to take on the Los Angeles Lakers. Talking about this game earlier, a line swing. It's a mild one, but still a favorite for OKC. Minus one has now turned into a minus 1 point favorite for the Los Angeles Lakers. The total in this game opened up at 240.5, now sits at 238.5. We'll see who the starting lineups will be. Probably not really factoring the Lakers. They should be full go tonight. They're on a rest from Saturday and not playing on Sunday. Meanwhile, OKC, as we said, played last night against the Suns. Is that jet lag going to catch up with the Thunder, or are they locked in with a legitimate chance to knock off the Lakers tonight in L.A., Joe?
Well, that's all there. That was a very physical late-night game for OKC last night against you know, Phoenix, who quite honestly had done a pretty good job for about 3.5 quarters in that game last night, Donnie. You know, with about 7 minutes left, they were up 7, Phoenix, and still managed to lose by 8 when it was all said and done, because it was a crazy finish to that game. But SGA had to play 38 minutes last night. The Thunder, I believe, are going to have to utilize the bench in this game a lot tonight. And I do think LeBron and the Lakers are going to want this game here. I think they're not happy with how they let Denver get away with it the other night and beat them. I do think a big effort is coming from the Lakers in this one. I agree with the flip, the line move. I still think the Lakers are the right side in this one.
I agree with you on that one. I do think the Lakers are able to catch OKC. Now, maybe if there wasn't a rest disadvantage, OKC would come in and be able to handle their business. No shame in their game. It's hard to win on the NBA on the road, particularly on a back-to-back when the other team played Saturday night at home and is waiting on you here on a Monday night basketball game. Chicago Bulls and the Sacramento Kings. The Kings looking to light the beam here, struggling a little bit in their last 10, going 5-5, but picked up a nice victory over the Minnesota Timberwolves.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment of the day for the Early Line Monday morning edition, March 4th. Donnie Wrightside and Joe Ranieri. A lot of fun, a lot of chairs, a lot of guests this morning. That's how we get down. We go in the scramble mode as good as it gets here on the network. Now, as you guys know, before we leave, we like to leave the people with a little bit more money in their pocket than they found. On Friday, Joe Ranieri, I told the people, look, I'm not going to give you play on a Friday night. I got one for Saturday. I don't even care what the line is because it wasn't even out at that time here, usually about 24 hours before tip time here. So about noon, it came out 4.5 as Baylor. That was my play of the day and cashed in beautifully on Saturday afternoon. But tonight, I'm going to go to the NBA, and I'm going out west here, Oklahoma City Thunder and the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, I do think the Lakers win this game tonight, but you know where I'm going? A player prop on LeBron James. Got the 40,000 out of the way. Now it's time to make the playoffs and solidify it. What better way to do it than with a win over Oklahoma City, but also a LeBron James over 24.5 points prop tonight. If you take a look at his last 5 games, shooting attempts from the floor, 22, 19, 21, 24, and 20. If you give me 20 shot attempts tonight, Joe Ranieri, from LeBron James, I'm going over 24.5 points. That's my best bet on a Monday here today. So, Joe, the floor is yours. What do we like out there for the public?
I'm going to stick with that Baylor game, Donnie, because, listen, I think a lot of people are going to look at Baylor having that big, you know, a tough win there at home against Kansas a couple of days ago, right? They'll also think that maybe the Longhorns can catch him on a, you know, maybe a down game, a little bit of a letdown. I don't think any of that is going to happen here. I think Baylor is going to win this game. And don't forget, Baylor lost 75-73 in Austin on a on a final shot there. I don't think that happens here tonight. I like the over, and I like Baylor to get it done.
By the way, the Baylor Bears, even on their losses, usually close in every single game. Going to be a fun out here in the tournament. As next week, we'll have the Big 12 Conference Tournament to certainly break down. But thanks, everybody, for tuning in today for a Monday morning edition of The Early Line. We did it for Nani Wrightside and Joe Ranieri. We will see you tomorrow morning, bright and early, for another edition right here on the Sports Grid Network. See ya.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.